thought for today. A full life is determined by how well I have lived. A full life is determined by how well I have lived. Now that says a lot, and it says nothing. Who determines what a full life is? And who determines how well I have lived? All of you are playing the game of not having lived well. You say, oh, if I had only done this, if I had only done that. Here Ingeborg is 2,079 years old, and she is now figuring out that self-discipline is a wonderful thing. Well, now, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Because if she was 2,090 years old and still hadn't come to that conclusion, she wouldn't have the benefit of thinking self-discipline is a wonderful thing. All of us belittle ourselves for the things we haven't learned. We say, if I had just treated my daughter or my son differently, if I had just treated my husband or my wife differently, if I had just treated my mother or my father, you know, all that sort of recriminating stuff. It's totally unnecessary and unreasonable. Unnecessary? We didn't do it. Unreasonable? The moment is past to do it. What is the moment here to do at this moment? What is the moment here to do now? Now is the only moment any of us can live. So, I hated my mother because she spanked me. All right? I choose to change that. Everybody else likes their mommy and has a good time thinking about their mommy. Why should I have a bad time thinking about my mommy? I'm going to start thinking about my mommy and think about all the good things she did, not just the spanking I got, which I probably deserved. Okay. So, what in the devil did my mother do that was worth being happy about? All right. Ingeborg, what did your mother, and don't answer this, these are rhetorical questions. What did your mother do that made you like her? Well, your mother hugged you once in a while. Your mother set you up on the counter at the post office and let you fiddle around with the stamps and so forth and be a pretty little child in front of all the customers who came in. Well, she liked you. She respected you. She thought you were wonderful. Otherwise, she wouldn't have put you up there. She would have hid you in a box down below. Say, go play in your box, you know. And she put your toys in a box and say, go down there and play in the box. I don't want the people to see you here. She would say, this is a business office and children aren't supposed to be here. But have you ever noticed when parents want to show off their kids, it doesn't matter whether it's a business office or not. They show them off. They got their pictures there. They got them there. They got their little monster climbing all over them while they're sitting at their desk, you know. There's always a place. So your mommy liked you. It's not that she didn't like you because of the things that you think that she left undone, but she liked you because of the things she did. Now, Ellen, she had the worst mother in the world. Her mother was always ignoring her in favor of her sister. Her mother was always paying attention to her sister. Her mother was always expecting her sister to be the good girl, and she didn't pay any attention to Ellen. She didn't give her any thought. And Ellen says, how can I like my mother? Well, Ellen can remember now, when she gets rid of all that feeling of anxiety, she can remember how her mother used to let her climb up on the footstool, or not footstool, but the little ladder next to the sink, and help her wash the dishes and work with the dishes that were filled with the cookie dough and with the cake dough. And what she loved the most was to take the frosting bowl and help her mother clean it out first. She would clean the bowl out first with her finger, and she'd lick her finger so good, and then she'd put it in the sink and wash it. But she didn't remember that. She just remembered that her sister got all the goodies. And she didn't remember that when she went for a walk with her mother and her sister, her mother held her hand, not her sister's hand, because her sister was here and there and everywhere, and her mother was just frustrated trying to keep track of where her sister was, so she held Ellen's hand, the good little girl. But Ellen didn't know that. Ellen didn't know she was a good little girl, and that she was the one that her mother held her hand. Now, you see, when we start looking back, we can find all sorts of reasons why, instead of somebody didn't like us, that somebody liked us. And what can we say about Sylvia? There's not a darn thing you can say. Her life was just one big fouled-up affair. She'd get up in the morning, and her mother would say, Sylvia, take care of the kids. And so Sylvia would become the mama. And she'd say, I'm mama. And she'd say, you must do what I tell you to do. And she was telling the kids what to do from an early age on. Her mother trusted her. Her mother believed in her. Her mother expected her to be wonderful, and of course she was. But does she remember that? No, I had to take care of the kids all day. I had to do this. I had to do that. But instead of saying I had to do it, say, I was given the privilege of taking care of the kids. None of the others were given that privilege because they weren't old enough. They weren't smart enough. They weren't able. Mother didn't believe in them like she did in me. Right? All right, so now, what are you crabbing about? You say, I never have a chance to do anything. I never have a chance to run the show. You ran the show from the time you got out of the womb, you know? You were the boss right from the word get-go, and you never changed. Now, stop moaning over something that never happened. You have always been the boss. You've always been the princess. You've always been the one your mother believed in, and your father, my God. You'd think that Jesus Christ came to earth and lived with your family in you, you know? Yeah, oh no, she shakes her head, yes, you notice that? You notice that? I think that's beautiful. But you see, you gotta remember those things if you want to remember things. Don't remember where you got a spanking because you did something wrong and you should have got a spanking. Don't remember the times you didn't get a spanking where you should have got a spanking and didn't, you know? Don't remember all those things. Just remember all the trust and love and joy that your parents had in you, each of you. And then you have a life that's been full, and you have lived it well. If you're going to add up the errors you made, just remember, you're not so good. You're kind of stupid, in fact. You look at Edison. How many errors did he make before he found the light bulb? And if he hadn't made those errors, would he have found the light bulb? Now, part of his finding the light bulb was making errors. Now, today, in your philosophy today, you say, I know that I know that I know God in me knows the answer. And you would have the light bulb like that, you know. But, of course, you're not Edison. So, what is it you're working on? Are you working on harmony in the world? Are you working on orderliness in the world? Are you working on peace in the world? Are you working on animals that behave, that follow your mind, your request? Are you working on having meals that are always a dietary delight and not fattening and not so filled with things that might not be to our benefit? You say, well, my meals are that way. I look them up in the book. No, you don't. No, you don't. As I pointed out to you the other day, we had potato salad made with mayonnaise and all that other rich stuff for 3 or 4 days at virtually every meal except breakfast. And I'm surprised you didn't put it out for breakfast, except you didn't make breakfast. But the thing is, you put it out for every meal. Now, we should not have that much potato salad in the house. We should have enough potato salad in the house for one meal, maybe two, but one meal. And then we should have different things. Do you know when potato salad is planned for? Potato salad is picnic food. It's food for party time. It's food for running off the energy and stuff like that. So we want to remember that. Now, a full life is determined by how well I have lived. Now, how well have you lived? How well have you lived? Now, Sylvia is probably the most rotten person we have here. Sylvia is the meanest person we have here. Sylvia is the most hateful person we have here. Sylvia is the most disgusting person we have here. And if Sylvia believes any of that, she has rocks in her head. But the tendency is to believe it because I say it. And if you want to believe it, you go right ahead, because you're not passing the test. If you take it and you say, I have always more to learn. I have always more that I'd like to improve on. I have always more things that I enjoy, but I always give my best in every circumstance. Oof. Who can take umbrage with that, huh? Can you? Can anybody? No, because that's the fact. Go with it. If I don't pick on you, you can be sure I'm really not interested in you. I've given up on you. If I don't pick on you, I really don't care. If your daddy doesn't pick on you, he doesn't care. There are five kids in our family, and the girls never got picked on. I kind of think it's because he didn't care about them, but I'm sure he did care about them. But I didn't get picked on much either, because I was usually doing what I was supposed to do. Howie didn't get picked on ever, and Ray got picked on all the time, because he was the oldest. Now, did it bother Ray? Yeah, quite a bit. It made him feel he was the black sheep of the family from the beginning. And so therefore, why not do everything a black sheep does? And that's what he did. And the girls, they didn't care. They had their own activities, their own life. They would come around Papa, and they'd hug and snuggle him and kiss him and then run off and do their thing. They wouldn't wait for him to do it back because he didn't film. But it didn't bother them. They just lived their life, and they had a lot of fun. Now, did they live a life that was well-lived? You bet. Were they happy? You bet. Were they really fulfilled? Not quite. Not quite, because they ran away from Pop before he had a chance to hug them. Pop could have learned how to hug if the girls had given him time to do it. But they ran away right away because they knew that he was kind of bashful about hugging. Me, it never bothered. I went up and I'd give Pop a hug and just sit there and talk to him. And he wouldn't pay any attention. He'd read his newspaper, he'd listen to the radio. He didn't pay any attention to anything I said, until later I heard him talking to Mom, saying something that I had said. And so, I mean, I pay attention. I don't have to listen at the horse's mouth or the horse's trough to hear whether he's paying attention. I just listen elsewhere. Well, Herb, you're so damn smart, so damn good. You make me sick, you know. Yeah, how about that? You can do it too. You can do it too. You don't need to hear Pop say to you something nice. You can hear him say it to the neighbor or to Mom or somebody else. But listen. Don't just shut him off because he doesn't say something nice. Listen. He might be saying something nice to somebody else in your earshot. I'm often polishing his car. I love polishing my dad's car. Sitting behind the wheel, holding the steering wheel, polishing the car, doing this and that. His car was the most polished car you could ever imagine. And he would be talking to some neighbors. They'd be out in the front of the car and I'd be in the back. Yeah, so I'm not even there. And he would be telling them things about me sometimes. And I never told people about this because I just didn't. And he would say nice things. He would say nice things about me. And my chest would just swell out and burst the buttons on my shirt. It didn't reach the buttons, but I mean, it swelled out because, you know, shirts are blousier and your chest got to be really big to burst your buttons. But I felt like I was bursting my buttons. And did you ever feel that way? I'm sure you did. Did you ever have that experience living life to the fullest and hearing what you think you weren't supposed to hear, but you were there to hear it? It was planned for you to hear. And you hear it and you say to yourself, Oh, he does like it. Oh. One time we were on the job and I was 9 or 10 And Pop let me come along because I was polishing the car. And I had this polish that you put on there. It has to be rubbed off, you know, because if you don't rub it off, it will lock on like glue. And so he let me come along. And so I was rubbing on the car. And he'd be standing by the car talking to the people he was working with and the people he was working for, the jobs that we were doing, the houses that we were building for people. And then the man would say, "Man, you got your little polisher with you here today, don't you?" And he says, "Well, he loves to be with me." Now, I heard him say that one time. And I thought, isn't that wonderful? That wasn't the reason I thought that I was being with him. I loved to be with him because I was polishing his car. But he loves to be with me. And I never forgot that. I didn't need a lot of attention from Pop because I listened and I heard the little subtleties of the little kindnesses that he spoke when I wasn't supposed to be hearing, but he knew I could hear. You see, that's living life to the fullest. Now, you suckers, have you ever been peeking? Have you ever been listening when nobody knew you were listening, or at least you thought nobody knew? If not, it's not too late. Right now, go and listen to what your father said to the neighbor while you were under the counter. Go listen to what your father was saying to your mother when he thought you weren't around. Go listen to what your father tells the relatives about his kids while the relatives are telling about their kids. And he says, "Well, I never have to worry about my kids. They're always doing what they're supposed to be doing, and I'm always proud of them." Now, you can create that, and you can live life to the fullest by living in retrospect, because you can recreate the past any way you want, create the future any way you want, create the present any way you want. But live to the fullest and get a lot of good out of it. A full life is determined by how well I have lived. Now, how well have you lived? How well have you paid attention to what your daddy said? And if you didn't hear it because you had wax in your ears, then listen now. Listen now with your creative spirit. What would your daddy have said of you if he was talking about you to the neighbors? Would he have said, "This is my darling daughter whom I wouldn't trade to anybody in the world for any other child in the world"? Ooh, wow, doesn't that sound nice? Doesn't that sound true? Uh-huh. "This is my little sweetheart. I have many other girls in the family, but this is the only girl that I would trust with the secrets of my life, and she would never violate them. This is my beloved child in whom I am most proud." Who said that?
Jesus.
God. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Jesus' daddy said that about him, okay? And it wasn't Joseph. It was God. And how did God speak those words? Through the what? Through the dove at his baptism. Remember?
Yes.
During the baptism, the dove came down and spoke to John the Baptist and said, "You're doing a good job, boy. This is my beloved son in whom I am most proud." And he wasn't even 30 yet. He was just beginning his ministry. Now, what does your dad say about you? "You're great. You're wonderful. I love you." Now, what does your son think about you? What does your daughter think about you? What sort of remarks have you ever made about them that would be wonderful? As I told you, Ellen, I want you to write a letter to your son every week and to your daughter every week and tell them how much you love them. Tell them of the things that you remember in your life together as they were growing up that made you so proud of them? And you wrote maybe one letter, and that's all you could find. Too bad. You see, write to your family. Remember the letter writing we had to our parents in a seminar? To tell our parents how much we love them? And I said, write to your father, or write to your mother. And someone said, I want to write to my dad. I said, write to whoever you want. But write and recreate the past. Tell them how much it meant to you that they were strong with you, that they were definite with you, that they kept the line with you. And you know, if your mother and father have passed on, write the letter in care of heaven, because they're surely there, right? Or next dimension. And mom, dad, you don't need Mrs. or Mr. because the divine knows who they were. And in the next dimension, wouldn't that be neat if you got a letter in this dimension from some person who said they were your son or your daughter, and they said, Mom, you will never know how much you influenced my life, how much you gave me the feeling that I was important, how much you gave me the feeling that I was worthwhile. Mom, I love you so. And, you know, it could come through. We have intermail, you know, interdimensional mail. We have marriages between races, interracial marriages. We have religious marriages, you know. People marry between religions, a Jew and a Catholic, you know. We have lots of people who are able to transcend the bounds of time and space, of dimension. And where do you think Jonathan was when he went with Chang on that other location? That was another dimension. And where do you think Fletcher Lynn Segal was when he hit that rock hard wall of granite? He was on another dimension. Jonathan told him so. He says, now look, Fletcher, you're on a level of consciousness much higher than you were before. You want to stay here, or you want to go back to the flock? And Fletcher says, I want to go back. He didn't even look around to see how wonderful it was where he was. He just wanted to go back because he had things to do there. Now, can you live as long as you wish on this earth? Yes, you can. Can you live billion, million, zillion years if you wish? Yes. Do you always live in the same body? Nope. Are you conscious of who you are? Nope. So just remember, you are wonderful. Create yourself as wonderful as you are. And step back in time and space and thank your mother and father for the things that they did that were such a great blessing to you. Thought for today, a full life is determined by how well I have lived, and I haven't begun to live fully yet. I love you.